Today's shir is Masech Tebeya Daf Lamed Aled, and we're going to begin on Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. We had learned yesterday in the Mishnah Megavav Min HaChatzer that we're allowed to collect wood from the Chatzer to use for firewood. Expounds the Braisa. Tan Rabbanan Megavav Min HaChatzer, we could collect wood from the Chatzer, Madlik, and use it for firewood. Everything that's in the chutz is considered non-muksa. Ovad shloyasa tziburim tziburim. However, Tanakama holds that when we're collecting this wood, we shouldn't make piles out of it. Rav Shimon matir. Rav Shimon says even that is permissible. Ask the Gemara Maika Mifli, what is the basis of this machlekes? Says the Gemara Masover, the Tanakama holds, mechsi tekamachnev lemochol yom achrino. Making a pile looks like you're collecting the wood to have in your warehouse for the next day or for another day, which is obviously osur. You're not allowed to prepare on yontif after yontif. Or masava, and Rav Shimon on the other hand holds kederosim uchachus alav. The pot is there, and it's obvious that I'm collecting the wood to use as firewood to cook, and therefore it's mutter. Ask the Ran, why doesn't the Gemara say a different reason? One of the malachas that's osur on Shabbos Yontif, one of the Lamatas Malachas, is Ma'amr, making bundles. So it should be also to collect wood, because it's Ma'amr. Says the Ran, from here we see that Ma'amr is only B'mokim Geduloi, where the thing is growing. And we're dealing, says the Ran, in a situation where the wood is not where the wood grew. It's in my yard, but it's not where it grew, and that's why there's no issue of Ma'amr. Ask the Mechas Chinuch, very good according to the Ran. But the Rambam clearly says that Ma'amr is even Shaloi B'makim Geduloi, even where it's not growing. So what will the Rambam do with the Ran's Kasha? So Michas Chinuch answers that even the Rambam holds that there's only an Isser of Ma'amr on Oichlin, something that's usable as food. Here we're talking about firewood, obviously not edible, so even the Rambam will agree that there is no concern of Ma'amr in this situation. So we learned further in the Mishnah, A mitzinus R, we're not allowed to create fire on Yontif. My tama, v'shem dekom moilid b'yontif. Because we're creating something new on Yontif. And there's a very fundamental, famous machlokes we're showing him how to understand this Gemara. Because it has a lot of applications to us in practical halacha. Rashi and most Rishonim seem to learn that the issue of putting on creating a fire is we're creating yesh mi'ayin. Till now there was no fire. Creating a fire is osur. Therefore, even though Moloch is mutter on Yontif, as we've been learning, the Tzarich Eichel Nefesh, but that doesn't allow something to be created that wasn't here previously. Other Rishonim seem to learn that it's really on a Rabbanan Diga issue because of Muksa, because of Noilad, and it'll have practical relevance if one needs a fire. Could he have someone create a fire on Yontif? If it's only the Rabbanan Diga issue of Muksa, so then perhaps when there's no fire available, he could ask a guy. Some place can suggest asking a child if he has no other choice and he needs a fire. But if we take Rashi's approach, that it's there's a specific issa deraisa to create something, that would be usher. It's a separate issa, and you can't ask a issa deraisa that we can't ask a guy to do. This leads us to some practical shayla. One shayla is, are you allowed to strike a match on Yontif? So although there's a tshuva from the Chemed Moshe, who seems to hold that you're allowed to strike a match in Yontif, because he says, actually the fire is already there in the match, and all you do by striking it is exposing the fire. All the later Paiskim discuss that that's not a clear understanding of the way a match works. What actually happens is you're creating a fire. The Ksav Sofer says this already, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says this, and you're not allowed to strike a match on Yontif. The question also comes up, regarding electricity, putting on a light on Yontif. And again, some of the earlier Paiskim, the Shaus of Tshuva Tzitzel Yezer has a long discussion about this, felt that electricity is really the same type of situation where the power is there, you're just exposing it. But of course, a true understanding of electricity tells us that what actually happens is by connecting the circuits, you're creating electricity that wasn't there previously. And that's why creating electricity, according to most Paiskim, falls under the category of what we learned in this Gemara, Kamoilid, creating a new fire. besides the fact that there's a chazanish, that the chazanish says that every time you turn on electricity, there's an isra abayna, because you're completing a circuit, and that's abayna by completing that circuit. Vayim alabnas areifim. We learned in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to heat up a tile, and that they used to put things on the tile to get cooked. My covet. Ask the Gemara, what is done when you do that? Amar Rabbi Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hoch bereifim chadoshim eskinen. Our Mishnah discussing new tiles. Neshet sorach levatkan. Because, as Rashi explains, that we're concerned that this tile is not really a good tile, and when you'll expose it to the heat, it'll crack. And that comes out on Yontif, you will not have ended up having a good tile because it cracked. So ask the Chassam Sofer, and he says this is really what Rashi is trying to say. We've learned there's a concept of metach shotru letzayrich, hotru nami shaloi letzayrich. So why, ask the Chassam Sofer, is there a problem? You're putting on the fire to heat this tile. Yes, there's a concern that this tile may not withstand the heat, but you put it on for a legitimate reason. So why is it asr? So the Chassam Sofer, and he says that's Pshan and Rashi. Says, let's say we'll put on the fire to heat this tile. The tile won't be able to withstand the heat, and it'll crack. So it'll turn out that what I did was a tircha, shaloi letzayrich. That's why Chazal say, don't put on the fire to heat the tile. Then there's another question that the Rishonim ask. Why is this worse than any other mechshirei oichel nefesh that according to Rabbi Yehuda we're allowed to do on Yontif? So I saw three answers. One is that we're going according to Rabbanon. The Rabbanon hold the Mechshirei Eichel Nefesh may not be done on Yontif. Or it could be going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Mechshirei Eichel Nefesh that could have been done before Yontif may not be done on Yontif. So prepare your tile before Yontif. Or the Ran says a very big chiddush. The Ran says that even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Mechshirei Eichel Nefesh may be done on Yontif, that it couldn't have been done before Yontif, he'll agree on Boina, on Tikkun Mana, you can't say that concept. What's the reason? There's a very nice svar in explaining the Ran. When we create something, it lasts forever. If we make this tile, it'll be good forever. So it comes out that we're creating something, a Mechshirei Eichel Nefesh, not just for Yontif. It's going to last a lot longer. That's why we don't have the dispensation, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, of Mechshirei Eichel Nefesh by Tikkun Mana. This Gemara is the basis for a din that the Mordechai quotes. The Mordechai says that if somebody is a moil, the first time he does a bris milah should not be on Shabbos. Why? He says this is his first opportunity to do a bris, and he may not do it correctly. So even though the halacha, as we all know, is that a bris bismanoi you're allowed to do on Shabbos, that's only if the bris is going to be done properly. But if it turns out that you don't do the bris properly, it came at you with mechal Shabbos for no reason. And here we're saying in our Gemara, if we're not sure that something is going to work, you can't do it on Yom Tov Shabbos. So Mordechai says a moil should never do his first bris milah on Shabbos, and that's the minig. On Yom Tov, it's a good point. Vamilei minoshitzarach lechasman. What is the concern? The concern is that when you use this the first time, when you heat up this tile the first time, it becomes hot and it becomes strong, and that is also to be done on Yontif, because it's a Tikkun Mana. The Mefarshim point out, and I think this is a good introduction for the next part, Gemara we're going to learn. If we look at this Gemara that we just learned, by Hashkafa Rishayna, first glance, the two explanations why we're not allowed to heat a tile on Yontif are not mutually exclusive. Both reasons are good reasons, and each Shita could hold of the other Shita. But the Gemara now is going to show that these two shitas actually don't, each one doesn't hold of the other shita. Because the Gemara quotes a Mishnah Masechta Chulin. Tanan Hasam, Darso, if an animal was trampled, or Shetafra Rekaisel was banged against the wall, or Sheritza Behema, or it was trampled by an animal, Umafrecheses, and it's still alive. So Mefarshim in Masechta Chulin, this is called Risuk Ivarim. The animal went through this type of a traumatic accident. What is the halacha? So the first halacha is shasa me'es la'es. It has to wait 24 hours. You're not allowed to shech the animal for 24 hours after it goes through this event. But then, you do shechita and kshera. And if it turns out to be fine, it's kosher. Omer Rav Elazar, Rav Yana, Mishum, Rav Elazar, Ben Tignis, even though normally, and we discussed this already in this Masechta, when we shecht an animal, unless we have a reason to be concerned, we don't have to do Midaraisa Bedikas. Here, Tzrich Bedika, because this animal, this bird, went through this traumatic experience, you have to inspect its internal organs to see if it's a treif or not. The Gemara Masechta Chulin describes all the various different treifas. Machloikas ha-poiskim, if this bedika is a chiv deraisa, a chiv derabonan, but the halacha is requires bedika. Ask the Gemara, b'amin Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zeira, ma'al shachta b'yontif, could such a bird that requires this bedika be geshachta b'yontif? Mi machzakinin reyos b'yontif? Do we say that we have a real concern on this bird, and therefore we should not be allowed to shecht on a yontif? Or we don't have to be concerned. Amalei. Tanina. Really, it's based on what we just learned. We learned, Eimalabnes array from Litzus Be'er. We're not allowed to heat up these tiles. Vavinimbo. And we try to understand my covet. So what are you doing if you shecht it? Vavim rabbi babachan amar b'yachan. Hoch b'ray from chadoshim eskinon. We're dealing with new tiles. We're not sure it's going to withstand the heat. Here too, we're not sure that this bird is a kosher bird because it requires the bedika. Therefore, we should not be allowed to expect it on Shabbos. Amalei, so he says, this din of Re'efim has nothing to do with this. Because I hold, he says, Anan, Mneshitzark L'chasman, Mesnila. I hold that the concern is that when you heat up this tile, you're creating it into a tile by applying this heat. And has nothing to do with a concern, will it or won't it withstand the heat. And therefore, there's no proof. And halach l'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch says, that even a bird that went through this experience, and it requires bedika, we are allowed to shechter and yontif. There's a few interesting halachas around this to discuss. One is, even though normally, the Be'iri says this, and I think the Ramah says this also, even though normally before we shecht, we make a bracha. Here, the halacha is that the bracha should be made after the shechita. Why? Because normally when you shecht, you could assume that everything is fine. Here, however, we have a real concern that this bird may be a treifa. So therefore, first shecht, then examine it, and then make the bracha. The Pnei Yeshua asks a question. In our Gemara, he says, we're asking that perhaps we should not be allowed to shecht this bird, because we know there's a problem with this bird. So yes, we learned the Mishnah the other day, Behema Musukenes, the animal that's very sick, and we're going to wait till after Yontif to shecht it. It may not survive. We're allowed to shecht it on Yontif. So why there are you allowed to shecht, and here you're not allowed to shecht? Or here at least we think you're not allowed to shecht. So Pnei Yeshua says a beautiful answer. The beauty is in its simplicity. He says, in that Gemara, what's the concern? You have a behemoth musukenis, it's very sick, and we're concerned that it may not survive till after Yontif. So the Mishnah says, Mishnah gave us all the rules, Machloikas, Tanakam, Rabbi Kiva, under what circumstances we could shecht. Here, there is no concern that this animal, that this bird is not going to survive till after Yontif. It may be a treifa, but it may not survive till after Yontif. But there's no concern that it's about to die. So since that's the situation, perhaps wait till after Yontif and don't do a shechit that was for nothing. Some sages says a different reason. He says there, if we're going to let the animal die, we wait till after Yontif, it will become an avela. If we shecht it, we will accomplish that it's not an avela, it's only a treifa. A treifa is less of a problem than an avela. A treifa is not metama, an avela is metama. Here, the bird is already a treifa anyway. And it's not, there's no concern it's going to die, so just wait till after Yontif. And in fact, the Pais can discuss, on Yontif, we were discussing so many times in this Masechta Baruch Hashem that you're allowed to shecht. What's the halacha if you have a concern in an area where Roy Behemoth's treifas? Well, you know that most of the animals are not kosher. Are you allowed to shecht an animal in such a place? So some Paiskim indeed say that under such circumstances you would not be allowed to shecht. You're only allowed to shecht because we assume it'll be fine. The Beis Yosef says you are allowed to shecht. Why? Because he says that we don't have to be concerned on every animal, on all the animals. We have to look at every animal. And when we look at an animal, we could assume it'll be fine, and we're allowed to shecht it. Shari Tshuva says another word. Shari Tshuva says there are a lot of animals. If we go to a shlachtais, the percentage of animals that are kosher versus non-kosher, most animals are not kosher. But he says that's not because halachically they're not kosher. We have different chumras. But al pidin, most of the animals are really kosher, so we can rely on that roiv to shecht on Yontif. There's an interesting shaila from the Beis Yitzchak, from Yitzchak Khanan in this Gemara. He says there's a machloikis between the Tosfos Rid and the Rivon. The Gemara says that if somebody kills a person who's a treifa, a person who has one of the simonim of a treifa, if you kill him, it's not considered that you're a tzeich, that you're a murderer. Why? The Gemara says, gavra katila katil. The person you killed is anyway halachically considered not alive because he can't survive. The question is, that's a Gemara. The machlokes between the Tosfos Rid and Rivon is, does this halacha apply to other areas of halacha? If you hit a person who's a treifa, is it considered that you hit a dead person, you didn't do anything? The Rivon says in all areas of halacha, he's considered a dead person. Tosfos Rid says he's only considered a dead person in this one specific din. That if you kill him, it's not considered that you killed the person because he's considered dead. Ask the Beis Yitzchak, according to the Rivon, what's the Gemara's concern to shecht this bird on Yontif? Manashach. If the bird is a kosher bird, so you're allowed to shecht it. If it's treifa, it's considered dead. What's the malach when you shecht something on Yontif? Netil sishama, killing it. You can't kill something that's dead. So ask the Beis Yitzchak, according to the Rivon, why should the Gemara have a question if you're allowed to shecht this bird on Yontif? So the Beis Yitzchak answers, of course there is no issue of malacha. What is the issue? Something that we discussed in Tapet Amid. The issue is tircha shloi letzairach. If it will turn out that you'll shecht the bird, and it'll turn out to be a treifa, you did a tircha, you went through all this bother, shloi letzairach, for no reason. That's why the Gemara questions, even according to the Rivon, are you allowed to shecht the bird on Yontif or not? Tanya. Quotes the Gemara to seft the Masechta Shabbos. Echem nevi sa'ar. If one person brings the fire, vechem nevi sa'etz, another person brings the wood, vechem tzofes k'deir, one person puts the flame on the pot on the flame, vechem nevi sa'mayim, one person brings water, vechem nois m'tachat tavlin, another person puts spice into it, vechem negis, another person mixes, stirs the pot, kulon chayovim. They're all considered they were mechal Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, v'tanya, we learned another braisa, achon chayiv, that only the last person that did this is chayiv. The kulam paturim and everybody else's potter, answers the Gemara, loikasha. Hoda isi armi kara. If you have fire there, and now somebody brings wood and adds it to the fire, so he's doing havara. If somebody adds ingredients to the pot on the fire, he's doing bishul. Ha, da isi l'olub soif. If there is no fire there, so by putting wood or putting a pot on an open, on a stove that's not on, you didn't do anything wrong. The machloik is trumas adeshin, another paiskim. Usually, in Shabbos, when we use the word potter, it means pata avalos, it's also in the rabbanon. What would be the halacha here if you have a stove, a very interesting shaila? You have a stove, the stove is not on. And you have a pot, so you go, you have no way to put it, you put it on top of the stove. And now somebody goes and puts on that fire. Did you do anything wrong? By the rice, you certainly didn't do anything wrong. Did you do something wrong with the rabbanon or not? Shumas Sadashin wants to say, even though normally potter means pata avalos, here it's mutter, because you didn't do anything wrong. Others disagree. Another shaila. Here we said that if you stir the pot when it's ready on the fire, that's considered bishul. So the question is, if you have a pot on the blech, on Shabbos, are you allowed to take something out of it? Stirring it, we now see clearly, is also. But let's say I take a spoon, and I want a scoop. I want to eat some cholent Friday night, but I want to keep the pot on the oven. Can I take cholent out? So machloikis, some Paiskim say that that's considered magus, and you have to take the pot off the flame. You have to be careful not to put it down, otherwise you won't be able to put it back. Others say that Egle Tal seems to say, as long as you're just scooping out and not stirring, it's mutter. The same shaila is, are you allowed to open and close the pot? People like to see what's doing in the pot. Are you allowed to open and close the pot? Is that, because that also increases the heat. Is that considered magus or not? Machloikas a Paiskim. There's a very nice arachayim based on this Gemara. He says, the Pasuk says, Mechala leho, Loshen Rabbim, those are Mechala Shabbos, Mois Yumos, a Loshen Yochid. So he says, the Pasuk is inconsistent. It starts with a Loshen Rabbim, and ends with a Loshen Yochid. How do we understand the Pasuk? Says the Archaim, it's talking about this Gemara. We have a situation, Mechala leho. Many people did different actions, but only one person put the fire at the end. What our Gemara say that if one person puts the fire at the end, only he did a aveira. Mechalaleha. Many people did a malacha, but Maishumas, only one person will get the einish. Only one person was the mechal Shabbos. Says the Gemara. Bishlam akula kavdi maisa. So says the Gemara. All these people that we identified that did different actions, if the fire was there, we could understand what malacha they did. Ask the Gemara, however, el soifas es kedera my kavit. Somebody puts an empty pot on a fire. What did he do? Amr Shimon ben Lakish. We're dealing with a new pot. We go back to what we spoke about at the beginning of the shir. It's considered that you're making the pot into a pot by putting it on the fire and exposing it to that heat. However, says Tosfos, the only time we have a concern is when we take an empty pot or a tile that's empty. Because Tosfos asks the question, according to this, let's say you have a new pot that you never used before and you fill it up with food. Are you allowed to put it on a flame on Yontif? Says Taisus, you're allowed to. The only concern of that you're making the pot into a pot is only when the pot is empty. If the pot is full, Tav Taisus Nom, it says it's not a consideration.
Is that a halacha of making it into a pot applied to our pots today?
It's a very good shaila, because we know that our pots, the added heat doesn't do anything to it. So some Paiskim say it's certainly not a problem. Others say, the Gemara says it's a problem. We can't change what it says in the Gemara. Tana Boram. Tana V'Karayim Chadoshim. A new furnace or oven, Harei Kakal HaKelem HaNitalim B'Chotzer. They're allowed to be moved. So Rashi explains that even though we're not allowed to use them, because like we're learning now, you can't make them the first time on Yontif, but they're still not muksa because I could use it to store something in it. The furnace looked like a box. Could use it as a storage box. And the Meiri says, even more than that, even though it's not that firm yet, so I wouldn't be able to use it as a chair to sit on, because it's not hardened yet, but I can still use it as a box. Avil ain't sochen as a shemen. We're not allowed to smear it with oil. But now toshen as a matlis. We're not allowed to clean it with a rag. We're not allowed to put on cold water to strengthen it. However, mishvil lefois, if I'm doing it with my purpose being that it should be able to cook in it, that halachas harei zeh mutar. As Tosfos, we just said that you're not allowed to do chamisa. We're not allowed to strengthen a pot. Why the furnace and the oven are you allowed to? So Tosfos answers, by a tile, when you expose it to heat the first time, you're certainly accomplishing something. On the other hand, here, it's not for sure that you're accomplishing something. That's why it's usur. That's Tosfos' answer. The Ran says another answer, beautiful answer. He says, when you take this oven and you fill it up with food, even if you're strengthening it, what are you really doing? You're cooking, you're baking. There's a side thing that also happens at the same time that it gets strengthened. On the other hand, when you take a tile with no food on it, you're not baking, you're only strengthening, and that's why it's asr. Tana Rabbanan. Morgan is a roish v'sar reglayim. We could scald the head and feet of an animal on Yontif to get off the hair. So Tosfos says, it's only the head and the feet. The rest of the body, not. And the Mefarshim, the Rajba, tries to understand why did we differentiate between the head and the feet and the rest of the animal. So he says, the Rajba says, it was common for them to eat the head and the feet of an animal, but the skin, but it wasn't common for them to eat the skin of the rest of the animal. So it's a Dovish and a Shovel Chal Nefesh. It's not something that everybody does, and that's why it's not Mutter. Others say that you're allowed to do the entire animal maliga. The Mishnah picks the head and the feet because those were the places that they usually did. But it's not specific, the head and the feet. That's how the Rashi himself learns. The Paiskim also discussed, this is very relevant, Alokh Lamaisa, that when may this be done? Only after the maliga. Because the Alokh is you can't expose animal or kosher animal or kosher bird after the shechita to hat water before the malicha, because that halach is, then the salt won't be able to extract the blood. There are paiskim that want to discuss what would be the halacha if the water you put on the animal was not from a kli rishon, it was with a kli sheni. Will malicha be effective after putting hot water from a kli sheni? We paskin that any hot water, even from a kli sheni, should not be put on the animal before the malicha. Or mahavenoy sabar, we'll add a singed with fire. Aval ein teufel nasoi becharsis. We're not allowed to treat it with this type of earthenware, with clay. V'loi bedomah, v'loi besid. We're not allowed to treat the skin. Why? So Rishonim give a number of reasons. Some say because it looks like ibud, you're working with the leather, tanning. Others say because it's of the dechol. Yet others say because it's a terech yisera. Then goizin sonoisu b'mesperayim. You're not allowed to cut it with scissors because it looks like you're cutting it to get off the hair. And that you're not allowed to do. You're allowed to cut the animal because you want to eat it, not because you want to get the hair. Then goizin as a yerek b'tesparu shaloi. Let's say you have some wilted leaves on a vegetable. So the Brisa tells us you're not allowed to cut it with its scissor, because when somebody sees you with that scissor, he won't think that you're using the scissor just to get rid of the unusable leaves. He's going to think that you cut it from the ground. And katsira is not mutter on yontif. Amusaknes akundusus achbiois. These are vegetables that require a lot of work to make them edible. You might allow to prepare them on yontif. Umasikin for oifim bepurna. We're allowed to cook and bake in this large furnace. Umachamin bentiki. And we're allowed to warm up hot water in this large percolator, so to speak. Why? Why would I think it's also? So Rashi says, since it's so large, people who see you using them will assume that you're not just cooking only for Yontif, you're cooking for after Yontif. Who needs so much food to fill up a whole furnace? And we know you're not allowed to cook for after Yontif, Kamash Malon the Gemara, that you can use it and we don't care what people will say. That's how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim learned that the concern is Terech Yisera. If you're cooking and baking so much, it's a Terech Yisera. But the Mefarshim point out that Rashi certainly agrees that when you're using a large furnace, you can only use it for food that you need on Yontif, not for food that you need after Yontif. Then Oifim Epurni Chadasha, we're not allowed to use a new furnace, Shem Tifachis. Like we just learned, we're concerned that it may break, and that means you're making it, and that, like we go back to before, Shem Baitkin, we're not sure it's going to work, and therefore you can't heat it up, it turns into Terech Yisera. The Rambam learns a different explanation of Gemara. He says, we're afraid you're going to use this new oven that you never used before. Then when you use it the first time, you turn it on the first time Yontif, it doesn't work, and you won't have what to eat. So it's a problem with Simchas Yontif. Other Rishonim, Rashi learns Terech Shloi L'Tzairich. He learns the concern is because you're going to end up not having a Yontif to dig a meal. Other Rishonim learn a different concern. This oven will end up being broken, and you need to eat on Yontif. And you may come to fix it on Yontif, which is of course also. Tana bottom. Ein neifchem mapuach. We can't blow a fire with some sort of a fan. Av neifchem b'shefer ferets. With a tube we may. Vei mesaknen as a shvud. We're not allowed to create a spit. Vei mechadet in oisayn. Nor may we sharpen it. And again here, the shayla that we spoke about on the top of the Amid comes back. That this is Machshir Yechel Nefesh, that according to Rabbi Yehuda should be mutter, and the answers that we gave on top of the Amid, we apply here too. Tan Rabbanan, Eim Fatsin Sakana, Litz by Meliach. Going back to something that we learned in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah we learned that herrings, small fish they used to roast, but they were concerned that it shouldn't get burnt if they exposed it to the fire, so they used to put it on a piece of paper, and here we say, or a piece of earthenware. Here said they used to take a piece of wood, they used to shave off a piece of wood, to use it to roast on. And this you're not allowed to do on Yontif. Why? Because it's called Tikkun Mana. And the Pais can make an interesting observation. From here we see that Tikkun Mana is not only making a keli, which is a permanent keli. Here we're talking about a disposable thing. We're going to use this piece of wood only when we're roasting this fish. Afterwards we're going to throw it out. It's still considered Tikkun Mana. I'm a fatsin as a egoist with matlis. We're allowed to crack a nut in a rag, then we're not concerned it's going to get burnt. So there are two ways the Rishonim explain this Gemara. One way is, you want to crack nuts in Yontif. So you do it like this. You take a bunch of nuts, you put it into a rag, and then you bang it against the table, and they crack. So we're concerned that that rag may tear. We don't have to be concerned. Another way the Rishonim explain is that you want to crack your nuts by biting on them, but you don't want to harm your teeth. So what you do is you wrap the nuts in a rag, like that, you put it into your mouth to protect your teeth, and you're allowed to do this, the Gemara says, on Yontif. Rekiv Egot, another Mepharshim say, that it's a Dov Hashem Miskavin if it's going to get torn. So why? A Dov Hashem Miskavin, you're not allowed to do L'chatchila. So the answer, here we're only dealing with a Rabbonim. because it's not really a kriya that's osur midaraisa. Because midaraisa tearing is only osur when you tear on the amnas to sew back. Here we're not going to sew it back. So it's only drabonon. So even if it's going to tear, it's a davashed miskavim by a drabonon, or it could be mekel. Continues the Mishnah. Void Amar Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer teaches us another halacha. So there's an interesting machlokes Rashi and Tosfos on this word void. Rashi says that Rabbi Lezer, we had in the Mishnah that we learned yesterday in the Flamma Gimel Amar Aleph, Rabbi Lezer taught us that you're allowed to pick up the pieces of wood, and then the Gemara, then the Mishnah went off to another topic about creating fire, and now Rabbi Lezer comes back to another din. Says Rashi that you can't use the word va'oid if there was something in between. So that's why Rashi says there's a different girsa, and the din of creating fire must have been taught before the din of Rabbi Lezer Oymen Noitel Adam Kisim, and therefore we have a continuation. First we had the din of Rabbi Lezer Oymen Noitel Adam Kisim, and then we have this din, which we'll explain in a moment, Be'ezer Hashem. Taisa says that this halacha that you can't say va'oid is only if you have the first din as a kula and the second din as a chumra. So if they're not consecutive, you can't say va'oid. Here, however, he says in the previous Mishnah was Rabbi Lezer taught us a kula, and in this Mishnah Rabbi Lezer teaches us a kula. So even though there's another din interrupting, the word va'oid is still appropriate. And the Baal Amor says a different pshat, that even though not all of the previous Mishnah was something Rabbi Lezer said, but the entire subject of the Mishnah is talking about wood and creating fire. And this Mishnah continues discussing that subject. That's why the word va'oid can be used. Says the Mishnah, va'oid am Rabbi Lezer, I'm an Adam al Muksa. You have fruit that is somewhat edible and somewhat not edible. So a person could stand by this fruit Erev Shabbos b'Shvi'is, on Erev Shabbos during the Shemitah year, Vayim mikana ni oichel mocher. I eat from here tomorrow, doesn't have to, just say it. In other words, because they're muksa, so you will not be allowed to eat it on Yontif. Why am I allowed to eat it? Because I designate it. I say I'm going to eat it. And according to Rabbi Lezer, just saying I'm going to eat from here is enough, because as we're going to learn, Rabbi Lezer holds a breira, that we retroactively say that what he's, the fruit that he takes actually in Yontif will retroactively be, will say that that was the fruit that he meant. Why does the Mishnah have to speak about Shemitah here? Because there's another problem. And we'll discuss that at length in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemaras today and tomorrow. You have to take off Trumas and Maestras. But Shemitah fruit, you don't have to take off Trumas and Maestras. So the only concern with this fruit is Muksa. That concern we obviate by designating it before Yontif. The Chum say they don't subscribe to Breira. So just saying I'm going to eat from this pile of fruit is not enough. Achi Yerushalayim, he has to actually mark off Vayim Mekan Vakan, these specific fruits I'm going to eat. So Taisus asks, quote Yerushalmi, Taisus asks an interesting question. Here we see that Rabbi Lezer says that just saying is enough. We know Rabbi Lezer is from Talmidei Beis Shammai. And Talmidei Beis Shammai were very machmer. We had a Gemara earlier in the Masechta that when you want to designate birds, Chashem Hashem said you actually have to handle it. Saying is not enough. Why here is saying enough? So Taisus answers, since birds are Balchai, and Balchai is a very high level Muksa, that's why there they required actual handling. Here we're not dealing with such a high level Muksa, that's why saying is enough. But now Taisus asks, again quoting the Yerushalmi, on the Chachamim, by the animals, we said that saying is enough, according to Beis Hillel, according to the Chachamim. And here we say, according to the Chachamim, you have to actually mark off. Why? So he says, an animal, I did not actively push it away. An animal is muksa. I didn't make a muksa. It's muksa by definition. Here, these fruits that I took up to the roof to dry, I actively made it muksa. Therefore, Beis Hillel hold that even though an animal just saying is enough, here, something that I actively made muksa, I have to actually mark off. Just talking is not enough. The halacha is like this. We know that the produce of Eretz Yisrael, we have to take off Trumas and Maestras, that everybody knows. Midoraisa, the halacha is that you don't have to take off Trumas and Maestras until you actually complete the processing of the produce, bring it into the house, Ries Pnei Bayis, and eat it in a Achilas Kva of permanent eating. Anything less doesn't have a chiyuv deraisa. However, midrabanan, there's a chiyuv that as soon as you eat an achilas kva, you have to take off trumas and maisers. Says the Mishnah, the Masechta Maisers, Tanan Hoysum, Tanaikish Atom Nutayim Erev Shabbos. If you have children that took off, that took Ta'anim dates that they want to use on Shabbos, and they designate them to eat on Shabbos, the Shachuv Loi Isru, and they didn't take off Maiser. Every Achila, every eating on Shabbos is considered an Achila's Kva. So now, this food, which has been designated to be eaten on Shabbos, you can't eat without taking Chumas and Maisers. So the halach is, even if you didn't end up eating this fruit on Shabbos, the halach says the Mishnah Masech the Maisers, L'motzei Shabbos lo yachlu, you're not allowed to eat from this fruit on Motzei Shabbos, Elm Kain Israel, until you take off Maisers. The designation made it into, like it was complete, and you can't eat it without taking, like it had a chilas kva, and you can't eat it without taking off Chumas and Maisers. Taisus asks, who's the one that put away this fruit? It's children. Since when do children have the ability to accomplish anything in halacha? So Taisus says that one is, so Taisus says two pshat. One pshat is that here we see that children sometimes do have ability in halacha. Or another teretz, he says, the Yishami says this, is like this. Here we're dealing with a situation that was right before Shabbos. Shabbos is 4:15. At 4 o'clock, the children went and took that fruit. It's obvious that what's the point of designating this fruit or putting away this fruit? That you're going to eat it on Shabbos. It's Ramesh right before Shabbos. That's why it's so obvious that it's Shabbos to give food that it's considered a kva. Continues the Gemara. But Tanan Nami, we learned the Mishnah similarly. We learned also Mishnah Masechet Maisers. Hamav Tanim B'chatzeroi, if somebody takes Tanim through his Chatzer, Litzois, and his point is that he wants to take it on further for drying. The halacha is bon of b'nei beisayif, oichlem en arayi. Since it wasn't complete processing, because it's still taking it for drying, it's like we said at the beginning of this shtickle gemara, if it's not completed, and it's also an achilas arayi, you could eat it without taking off trumas and maisers. Interesting shaila Tosfos poses. The Mishnah clearly says that if I took fruit to dry, so that means it's still not finished processing, my family could eat at Achilas Arai. What about me myself? If I want to eat from this fruit, so obviously I'm not intending to dry it, because I own the fruit. Will I be allowed to eat at Arai, or I not? So Tosfos says, only my family can eat at Arai, because they don't own the fruit. I may eat at Arai. Or Baturim, and they don't have to take off Maisers. Now ask the Gemara. Boy Mnei Ravim Ram Nachman. Shabbos Ma Shatikva Muks Lamaisa Bedova Shlai Nigmar Malachta. Here we have two opposing situations coming together. On one hand, as we've been saying, the food that's eaten on Shabbos is considered significant and you have to take off Trumas and Maisers. On the other hand, we have fruit that wasn't completely processed. Do we say that Shabbos obligates taking off Trumas and Maisers, even on fruit that wasn't completed processing, or is it only on fruit that was completed processing? Me and Minan, keeping the Ksiv Kros L'Shabbos Oynik, Shabbos meals are so significant, they consider Oynik Shabbos, Kovo, V'afil B'Dovash L'Oynik Merachtoi, they have this ability to be Mechayiv Trumas and Maisers, even on something that wasn't completely processed. Oydilmo, B'dovish nigra malachtoi, something that's completely processed. V'edir halacha is kava, there's a chiv to take off trumas and maisers. B'dovish loy nigra malachtoi, on the other hand, something that wasn't completely processed, loy kava. It doesn't have this ability. Amalei, so he responds, Shabbos kavas, Shabbos has the ability to be kaveya, bein b'dovish nigra malachtoi, bein b'dovish loy nigra malachtoi. Both on something that was completely processed, both on that. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Veim Shabbos Tumi D'Chatzer. Why are you saying that Shabbos is so stringent? Maybe we should treat Shabbos like the Chatzer. And say, as we've said previously, Ma Chatzer, just because I bring something into my house, Ein a Kavas, there's no Chiv to take off Trumas and Maisers, El B'Dovash Nigra Malachtoi. Af Shabbos, I should say the same thing, Loi Tikva, El B'Dovash Nigra Malachtoi. Amalei, Liman Orchu B'Yadenu, we have this Kabbalah, we have this Messiah, this tradition, Sheshabbos Kavas, that Shabbos has the ability to obligate everything to take off tributes and maestros, Bain, B'dova, Shalom Malachtoi, Bain, Dova, Shalom Malachtoi, and makes no difference, it was completely processed or not. So Mepharshim point out, the place can point out, that this concept that we're speaking about, the ability of a Suda Shabbos, how significant it is, has various areas in Halacha. I saw three interesting concepts based on this, three interesting dinim. The Halacha is that before Kiddush, once Shabbos starts, before Kiddush you're not allowed to even drink water. And we know normally drinking water is not that significant in Halacha. And here all of a sudden you're even not allowed to drink water. Why? So Mepharshim say, because here we see that any eating or drinking in Shabbos is chashiv. So even though you're just drinking water, it's considered something significant. And since you're not supposed to eat or drink before you make Kiddush, you're not allowed to even drink water. Similarly, interesting, and I'm not saying that anybody should do this, but I'm just saying the Masham says this. We know that you have to have Kiddush for Makom Suda. You have to eat after Kiddush. It should be Kiddush for Makom Suda. So normally we eat challah or we eat the mezainis. What's going to be halacha? You don't want to eat challah or you don't want to wash yet or you don't want to eat. So here, the halacha, some places can want to say, eating fruit will be good enough because we're seeing that any eating on Shabbos is significant. That's what the Gemara says. So even in fruit, perhaps you could be Mekayim, Kiddush B'Makom Suda. Rav Menachem Zemba says another interesting din. We learned in Masechta Brachos, there's a kind of food called Pas HaBaba Kisnan. It's a type of mezainis. And depending on how you eat it, there's a shayla if the bracha is Hamaitzi or mezainis. That's what the world calls today mezainis bread. Even though with the OU we don't believe in that. So the Rav Menachem Zemba says that Pas HaBaba Kisnan, the halacha is if you koveya suda, you have to make, and everybody agrees, you have to make hamaitzi. Says Rav Menachem Zemba, if you eat Pas HaBaba Kisnan on Shabbos, you certainly have to wash, and you certainly have to make hamaitzi. Because we said now that every achila Shabbos is considered a kavis. Then the Paiskim discussed, it goes back all the way to the Meiri, the Rishonim already discussed. Here we're discussing about a Shabbos de Gamil. What about a Yontav de Gamil? Is there a chiv oinig on a Yontav de Gamil also? The Paiskim discuss it. The Miri says that there is. Everybody agrees that matzah, chilas matzah, it seems that all the Paiskim agree, is certainly kviyas. You mekayim a mitzvah. That's certainly kviyas. But what about a regular meal on Yontav? It's machloikas. The Pnei Shu discusses it. The Miri discusses it. The Tzlach discusses it. Most seem to say that it is kveya. And then Rabbi Kivega has an interesting discussion. We know that a woman is mechuyiv to make kiddush on Shabbos. Because Zoch v'Shomer, we say that the Gemara says that whoever is mechuyiv in Shmira is mechuyiv in Zechira. What will be the halacha regarding a woman on Yontav? Is she mechuyiv to make kiddush? Is the din of Oinig Yontav the same as Oinig Shabbos? The Shai would be, is a woman mechuyiv to make kiddush? The Shai would also be, let's say, a woman skipped Yalav Yavai, which you have to repeat it. If she has no chiv to eat the meal, she doesn't have to repeat benching if she missed Yalav Yavai. Most Paiskim seem to say that we compare Oinig Yontav to Oinig Shabbos, and whoever is obligated to have Oinig Shabbos is also obligated to have Oinig Yontav.